You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Isn't that great? And that's really to encourage us, isn't it? Encourage us to think about, well, what can I do? We don't all have to go and do that, but what can I do where I am? What's in my hands and what can I do? So be thinking about that. And just before I also get in, I just thought I'd explain this, especially if you are visiting. We had a couple of weeks ago a 20-year celebration weekend, and we asked people to write on these little bricks, as we called them, what Jubilee meant to them. And we're in a season now, a preaching series, where we're looking at discovering Jubilee together. So what makes Jubilee, Jubilee? And so this is what you all wrote. And I just thought, it was great. It's just wonderful what has come out. The different things that come out. So you've got family. You've got family quite a lot through it all, actually. You've got grace. You've got love. You've got promise. You've got biscuits. I love that. You've got biscuits right up there. I wonder who did that. I would like to meet them. Coffee. You got coffee. We might disagree on the coffee part. It's okay, but you know, someone loves the coffee, and that's a good thing. But all of this here is a representation of who Jubilee is, and so we thought, let's put it up so that we can remind ourselves as the weeks go by, particularly in this preaching series, of what makes Jubilee, Jubilee. And if you want to, there's more bricks down here. At any point, you can come and add to them. But it was great kicking off the series last week with grace, the topic of grace. And Sean did a wonderful job explaining and reminding us of how crucial grace is. It's not simply an idea, but it needs to be a lived experience. And we had an amazing discussion at our group on Wednesday night where Kenny and Cheryl led us through the story of the prodigal son and how grace was working in that story. And it was amazing. They did an absolutely awesome job at it. And now we turn to the next topic. So we started with grace, not Greece. We started with grace. And I entitled this week's topic, Family Matters. So I wonder how you would describe your family. If someone asked you, how would you describe your family? It's already getting a few giggles. I like that. Because there's several ways we could answer that, isn't it? There's several ways we could answer that. You might describe it by talking through the members of your family. So it might be something like, well, there's mom and there's dad and there's two brothers and three sisters, and in essence, you could answer that by focusing on who is in the family, the parts of your family. Another person could say, I love my family, they are awesome. And so you're focusing more on the relationships. Another person might say, we are such a close family, we speak every day. Others might say, we are not at all a close family, and we do not speak every day. But the description focuses on the relationships. And a different person might describe their family by looking at the characters of the people in the family. And some person might say, my family is just loopy. Another person might say, my family is just so weird. And I think just about every family can own that one. My family is so loud, or so introverted, or so embarrassing. And that has to be a teenager answering that question. And it reminds me of a story when we went to a taster session for Rachel and her friend at Godalming College. She's just started there. And Lindy and I literally just walked in to the sort of main area, and they have these big numbers on the side of the buildings to tell the students where their classes are. And Lindy did something which a parent, let me just tell you, you must never, ever do. She pointed. and said, "Rach, look, there's 900. And Rachel and a friend of her and was just like, "Oh my goodness, Mum. Oh my goodness." And her friend was like, "Rach, they're not even my parents, and I'm so embarrassed for you." So of course, Lindy and I, we love that. I mean, by the end of it, we are just dabbing. We are like, "Rach!" We're having loads of fun. So, you can get a bit embarrassing out there. So when it comes to what makes your family, I hope you're beginning to see that there are multiple ways you could answer that question. It's the same question being asked, but depending on what you focus on, you might get different answers. It could be the same family, but from different angles. And so in many ways, that's what we're doing here at Jubilee over the next couple of weeks, answering that question from different angles. And many of you have joined our family over the past weeks and months, and particularly as we've come out of the pandemic and lockdowns. And we want to make sure you see and know us and hopefully grow to love our family as much as we do. And if you're sitting here this morning and the best description you have for us in your head is, "They are just so weird," well, that's kind of true. Just have a look at the person sitting next to you. But what I want to say also is that there is also a beauty and a richness in that person next to you and in this family. And that's what we want to explore and discover together. And I want to start our description of this family by stating the obvious, but not always obvious. At Jubilee Church, we must not think of ourselves in the first instance as an organization or an institution or even a charity. Now, of course, we are those things in some respects, each one of them. But primarily, or if you like, of first importance, we are a family. And our family has a unique foundation, a unique story, and a unique makeup. We're going to go through each of those 3 points. Our family foundation. What makes our family foundation unique is God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth, who has revealed Himself to us as Father. He is our foundation. The very reason we exist as a family is because it was His family first. It only becomes our family because He loved us and poured out His grace upon us. It's famously said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world." So that is our family foundation. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Moving on now to our family story. Because we are first and foremost a family with God as our Father, but in His mercy and wisdom, He calls His family into His story. You see, God has been unfolding His plan and His story in our history since the beginning of time. And when we're called into His family, He calls us into that story and that plan. And here at Jubilee, the very heart of that story is wrapped up by what's called the Great Command and the Great Commission. And we have them here on the stage every week to help us remember them. The Great Command, we have it here in Matthew 12, verse 30 and 31. You can also find it in Matthew 22. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And I like to summarize that by just saying, love the Lord your God with all that you are. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, all that you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus commands us to make our Father in heaven the very center and focus of every aspect of our lives. You can hear that, can't you, in the heart, soul, and mind. There's nothing that's left out. It's about embarking on a life journey where every decision, every step taken is entered into with the question, will this decision, this job, this course of study, this relationship, this move to a new area, will it lead me into a life of loving God more? A life that's pleasing to Him and brings Him glory. It's building our lives such that our Father always remains central. Where our Father is the very filter which we use to see and understand the world around us. It's the one relationship that is first, comes first, and is always preferred. That's a great command. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20 says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." So if the first words of our story is to love the Lord your God with everything you are, what follows very closely after that are these words, go, make disciples, baptize, teach, obey. And then the promise that holds this story all together, every moment and every step that you take is Jesus' words, the very last words in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that's our family story. It's our Father's story first, and in His love and in His delight in us, He invites us into that story, and it becomes our story. It becomes your story and my story and our story. It's the story that becomes the lens through which we make sense of the world and interpret the world around us. There's so many competing stories that bid for our attention. And not just attention, they bid for our hearts. And if they capture our hearts, we'll follow that story. And so it needs to be the primary story of our lives. And we need to be active in keeping it so. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go. Make disciples, baptize, teach, and obey. And finally, we've had our foundation, our family story, our family makeup. This is utterly unique because it rests entirely on Jesus. He literally is, as he says so himself in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus." Jesus is the gate that one must enter to come into the family. And not a single person is in the family other than through accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. And this is truly, truly wonderful news. Because no one gets to be in the family in a better standing than anyone else. No one gets a premium entry ticket. And no one is excluded because of bad behavior. Whether the holiest of saints or murderers or somewhere in between, we all enter the family based only on Jesus. So we are all brothers and sisters, equal standing, equally loved, equally accepted by the Father, and equally called into the Father's story. That means we all equally have a place and have a role and a part to play in the family. The New Testament emphasizes the importance of each family member, each brother and sister. There are no distant, twice-removed cousins in the family of God. There's just brothers and sisters, each one utterly valued and each one utterly delighted in by God, and each having their particular place in the family. And the thing is, without each and every member of the family finding their place and playing their part, the family isn't reflecting the glory and beauty that God had intended for it. You see, there is no VIP queue-jumping family members. There's just brothers and sisters, each one equally part of our Father's family. Ephesians 2 verse 18 and 19 says this, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household." Through Jesus, you are no longer strangers. So who are you? Members of God's household, members of his family. Galatians 4 puts it this way, we read it this morning. "But when the set time had fully come, God had sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of a Son into our hearts, and that Spirit calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir." That wonderful use of language there, where because the Spirit of God lives in our hearts now, we can cry out, "Abba, Father." This word that has this intimacy of daddy, but without the childish implications. It shows the intimacy of the relationship that's intended and delighted in and desired by God for us. And then what flows out of our family foundation, our family story, and our family makeup is valuing each member of our family. And that works itself out here at Jubilee by what we value and what we put our hands to. Bob Goff wrote a book a few years ago, some of you may remember, said it's called Love Does. And that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Love works. And as Sean said last week, we don't work in order to be loved, but because we love, or more accurately, because we have been loved by the Father, we put our hands to certain things. It flows out of us naturally, but not the other way around. Here at Jubilee, because we love every member of our family, we put our hands to a significant work in our children's ministry. Across all of the kids' ministries, across the whole week, and young people, do you know we have on average 119 people, young people and children, in weekly attendance. In terms of our Father's story, of our story, we have on average 50 children in our Sunday morning ministries alone, learning to love God with all they are and everything they have, learning to build their lives on their Father at the very center. And because we know that our children are equally valued, equally delighted in members of the family, and it's not just about us as adults, we invest deeply in both our kids and adults, pouring our lives into their hearts, assured that Jesus is with us by his Spirit, and that each time we gather, whether here on a Sunday morning, but particularly on a Sunday morning as the kids go into their ministries, they're being shaped and formed into little Christ ones. Yet it also is part of God's story, our Father's story, that we go, that we make disciples. And this is why we invest in the den each Friday night and invite children from our community and from our church to gather together, to have fun, to be fed, to hear the gospel proclaimed. And we have on average 44 children, most of them, I think about half of them, from outside of the church. Love does. Our Father's story does. Our family story does. And we value every single sister and brother in our family because we know our Father loves each of them, delights in each of you, and called each of us into His family just in the same way as He called us. That's why we put our hands to the Illuminate ministry. And I probably should be clearer on that. Our Illuminate ministry is the perfect example of someone finding their place, their passion, and running with a vision. Laura is amazing. She volunteered at the ARC Ministry for Kids with Additional Needs at West Point Conference a few years ago, and it so gripped her heart that she wanted to start something here at Jubilee which would welcome in families who have children and young people with additional needs. Laura found her place and found her passion, and God got hold of her and she got hold of His story, and today we are running an amazing weekly ministry for people with additional needs, and it's going from strength to strength. What Laura and the team have done, see Elizabeth there, Aya's out there, Allison, whoever, Adrian, what the whole team have done is like a living demonstration of what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said this, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me." Do you see what he's saying? Laura has taken hold of this vision, this part of her story and God's story, because the story took hold of her. And now she's running out and the whole team is working. It's wonderful in so many ways. Because we see our stories, our personal stories, as part then of God's bigger story, we have groups like Jabal, a safe space to explore life with Jesus for pre and early teen girls. The group of 10 girls are sisters in our family, fully fledged members of the family right now. And love does. Love motivates Haley and Laura and Claire to see these girls flourish, know their Father in heaven, and learn how to build their lives around them. These are sisters in the family right now, not future Christians in the making. And our Father's story, which becomes our story, is why Sarah has on average 18 to 20 young people at the youth group each Friday night, learning to love God, love others, and love life. And the list can go on and on. You think of Spring Away, Waverly Woods, the Commission Festival, putting together our preaching series, our growth groups and what goes on them, our pastoral visits, our prayer meetings, our trustee board, our worship leaders, our Sunday services, annual dinners, gift days, our willingness to serve on teams, Christmas carol events, Easter and Nativity services, and our Christmas Day services at Waden Christian Center. All this is birthed from and motivated by our family foundation, our God and Father, our family story made up and summarized, if you like, captured in the Great Command and the Great Commission, and our family makeup that everyone is invited and accepted in because of Jesus alone. It's also why so many of you are involved or leading Christian groups at work or in your college. You're taking His story, which has become your story, into your workplace, into your college. And we honor you in that. We want to help equip you to do that as best you can. It's why we want everyone to be involved in the These Things Matter mission in November. What a difference it makes if we see that as our story, because it's His story. And I want us to resist any notion, any thought that comes into our heads that it's Esther's story, or it's Sean's story, or someone else's story. It's our story because it's His story. And the way we work this all out here at Jubilee is part of the answer of what makes Jubilee, Jubilee. It's the year of discovery. And we want everyone to discover their place, their passion, His story, our story, and begin to work that out here in and through our family. See, for the family to be all that God intends it to be, we need each sister and every brother to be part of that story. And so my question to you this morning is, have you found your place? Have you found your role? I want to encourage all of us to do just that. Find your place in this family here at Jubilee. Get involved. Try something out. See where your place is. Part of the blessing of being members of a family is the opportunity to serve and get stuck in different ways. And I know so many of us are, and it's wonderful. But see this as an opportunity to discover where God is calling you into as part of His story in this particular family. And if you're unclear of what it is now, don't hold back waiting, saying to yourselves, well, maybe next week. I'd encourage you to step in now. Try some things out. Find your place. Find your part in His story. And it's often taking the step where we then discover exactly where that place is. Have you got a vision for some new ministry? Come and talk to us. Have you got a desire to get stuck in any way you can? Come and talk to us. Whatever it is, every sister and brother, we need and want and encourage to have their place in His family and in His story. And let's discover that together this year here at Jubilee. Amen. Can I have the band back up, Chrissy and the band? We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to also then come to communion. Let me pray and then we'll come into this. Lord, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to free us from the bondage of our sins, and that because we are given your righteousness, we are now accepted by the Father and welcomed in as sons and daughters. And I pray, Lord God, for every single person here. I pray for anyone who hasn't received you as Lord and Savior, still feels outside of the family of God. Lord, by your Spirit, work in their hearts. Show them and reveal them the wonder and beauty of their Savior, Lord Jesus. Extend again the invitation and the free gift of eternal life found in Jesus. And I pray for all of us who are members of the family already, Lord. In this time now, as we worship you, before we come to your table, Holy Spirit, I ask that you work and stir our hearts, that we be sure, Lord, we be more than sure of your love and delight in each one of us, of your accepting us because we are clothed in Jesus. That there's nothing we can do, Lord, as Sean said last week, to get you to love us more. And there's nothing we can do or have done or will do that you will make us love us less. We cannot outsin the cross of Christ. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, come and work among your people. Assure them in the knowledge and encounter and experience of accepting Jesus as Lord, that they are fully loved, fully accepted, delighted in by you, loved. And help us, I pray, find our place, Lord. Because in finding our place, we find the full life that you have for us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now. Minister to hearts, I pray.